Hello, everyone. Dan Dillman here, bringing you a little of this, a little of that. Have you noticed lately that plastics are everywhere? Microplastics permeate the globe from the ocean depths to the highest mountaintop, and even our bodies. And so for the next probably 10 minutes or so, maybe a little bit longer, I'm going to be telling you about the problem that we have with plastics. And this is a global problem. Just exactly what are microplastics? Well, they're tiny shreds of plastic found in our air, our water, and our soil. And they range from 5 millimeters, that's about the size of a grain of rice, to less than a micron. Human beings have produced more than 8 billion metric tons of plastic since the 1950s. That's less than 10% of which has been recycled. As a result, phenomenal amounts of plastic waste fill our rivers, our oceans, and our shorelines. Plastic doesn't biodegrade over time. It just breaks down into ever smaller particles. In addition to bottles and utensils and straws and other single-use plastics, sources include car tires and cigarette butts and packaging and fishing nets and polyester fabrics, which collectively have shed trillions of microfibers. Since scientists first became concerned about microplastics a few decades ago, they've been stunned to learn that these tiny particles quite literally blanket the globe. They've been found in Arctic snow and soil samples from Swiss nature reserves. They've been found on Mount Everest and in the Pacific Ocean's Mariana Trench, which is 7 miles below the surface. Nowhere, no matter how remote, is immune. Then, microplastics are being increasingly found in our bodies. But just where? Well, a pair of studies unveiled in last March and April found microscopic particles in subjects' blood and deep in their lungs. In the blood study, a team of Dutch scientists found plastics, including those used to make beverage bottles and packaging, in samples from 17 out of 22 healthy blood donors. In the lung study, researchers from the United Kingdom's Hull York Medical School took 13 lung samples from surgical patients and found microplastics in 11 of them, including samples from deep in the lower lungs. Microplastics have been found in stool samples and in the placentas of unborn babies. That latter finding was very worrying. Babies are being born pre-polluted. But why is plastic in people? Well, we eat, drink, and breathe it. Trace amounts of plastic have been finding their way into the food chain. Plastic also directly leaches into food from packaging and from containers. A 2019 analysis by the World Wildlife Fund estimated that people consume up to 5 grams of plastic a week. About the same amount of plastic in a credit card. Microplastics have been found in shellfish, in salt, in beer, fresh fruit, and especially drinking water. A global study in 2017 found plastic fibers in 83% of tap water samples, and bottled water is far worse. British researchers also have found that bottle-fed babies swallow daily millions of microplastic particles that have been shed into the milk from plastic bottles, an amount that one researcher said left him absolutely gobsmacked. We also breathe in plastic in microfibers that float invisibly in the air, many shed from our clothing, fabrics, and other textiles. A 2020 study found that 11 national parks and protected lands in the American West were showered every year by more than 1,000 metric tons of microplastic particles. And that is the equivalent of 300 million pulverized plastic bottles. And now to let you recover from this not very pleasant news, we'll take just a short break and be right back with more about plastic. We're back now with more about plastics. How harmful is the situation I'm describing? That's the key question. And the short answer is, scientists don't know. Now that they've found microplastics in lungs and blood, a scientist at Hull York Medical School in Great Britain says that the next step is, so what? And does it matter? The research is in its infancy. Studies have found that plastics contain chemicals that can act as endocrine disruptors. This means that they can affect and even mimic hormones. In theory, this means microplastics in the body may cause cancer, reproductive disorders, chronic inflammation, autoimmune diseases, obesity, and neurological impairment in developing fetuses and children. The plastics industry argues, on the other hand, that its products are largely inert in the body and are shed in wastes. But many experts are inclined to agree with Trinity College in Dublin, who've been studying this situation. And according to one of the environmental engineers there, he says, I think it's far too early to say that we can be positive about this situation. It's far too, and it's also fair to say that the potential risk could be high. Well, what can be done? Obviously, we need to cut our prodigious consumption of single-use plastic and keep what we do use out of the environment. Last March, representatives of 175 nations agreed to start work on a global treaty which would cut plastic pollution. It was designed to be in place by 2024. Its aims include cutting plastic use, boosting recycling, and cleaning up waste. In the US, California became the first state to embark on an ambitious plan to curb microplastics, in part by cutting single-use plastics. But those who are trying to find solutions are swimming against a strong microplastic-filled tide. Global plastic consumption is expected to double over the next 10 years, according to the World Economic Forum. If there's no change in consumption by 2050, there could be more plastic in the ocean per pound than there are fish. Think about that. And we end up this item about plastics everywhere with the dirty secret of plastic recycling. Americans worried about plastic pollution might feel they're making a difference when they separate their bottles and takeout containers for recycling. But those efforts may not mean much. Only a small fraction of plastic waste is actually repurposed. And that amount is dropping even as plastic production climbs. Last year, the U.S. plastic recycling rate dipped below 6%, down from a peak of 9.5% in 2014, according to a new report by the groups Beyond Plastic and The Last Beach Cleanup. The rate dropped after China stopped buying U.S. plastic waste in 2017. Environmentalists say the plastics industry has sold the public on the illusion that plastic is recyclable, when in fact the process is prohibitively expensive and few U.S. facilities have the capacity to do it. Most of the plastic set aside for recycling winds up in landfills or is burned. Accusing petrochemical companies of a half-century campaign of deception, the California Attorney General opened an investigation into their role in misleading consumers. The plastics industry, quote, must stop lying to the public about plastics recycling, unquote. It does not work. It never will work. And no amount of false advertising will change that. If you'd like to reread what I have just been saying in order to get some more of the details back from it, consult The Week magazine, May 20th, 2022. And we'll take a break before we have the next item in today's program. Hi, I'm back again, and this time I'm also bringing a problem to you. We did plastics in the first section, and now we're looking at CO2 levels in the atmosphere. Humans have never lived in a world with as much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere as they are experiencing now. New measurements by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration show that the average level of the greenhouse gas is more than 50% higher than in pre-industrial times, and the highest in at least 4 million years. Before the Industrial Revolution, CO2 levels had hovered around 280 parts per million for thousands of years. But this May, they hit a peak of 421 parts per million. The cause is the burning of fossil fuels. NOAA scientists, and the result is worsening climate change, according to them. Earth's temperature has jumped 2/3 of a degree Fahrenheit in just 20 years, fueling extreme weather, including longer and more severe droughts, wildfires, flooding, and tropical storms. And to stave off a tipping point that could leave parts of the planet inhospitable to humans, CO2 levels need to start falling. But instead, despite international pledges to cut emissions, the levels are rising. Humans pumped a record 36 billion tons of CO2 into the atmosphere last year and are on track to do better than that this year. It's depressing that we've lacked the collective willpower to slow the relentless rise in CO2. And now I'd like to give you some information about running marathons. If you had planned on running one this summer, or if you run them often, you might reconsider. Because new research shows that men who run lots of marathons may actually be putting themselves at risk of heart attacks and strokes. Researchers examined more than 300 people, all ages 40 or over, and they had exercised regularly for at least 10 years and taken part in at least 10 endurance events. Using MRI scans, they found that men's major arteries were far stiffer than would be expected for their age. In fact, overall, their vascular age was a decade older than their actual age, and the descending aorta was 15 years older. Interestingly, women were much better off. The women's vascular age overall was the same as their true age, while the vascular age of their descending aorta was 6 years younger. Something to consider if you do a lot of long distance running. And then something about giraffes. I said many times that we try to inform and entertain you and sometimes amuse you. Well, perhaps this will amuse you. Why giraffes grew a long neck? It's long been believed that giraffes evolved their serpentine necks to pluck leaves from African treetops. But researchers now have a new theory. People working at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington think that the necks became elongated to help the animals compete for mates, not just reach for food. They came to the conclusion after analyzing fossils, and a particular fossil with a sheep-sized early ancestor of the giraffe, one that was found in China. The specimen, which dated back 17 million years, had an almost helmet-like feature around its head and bulky vertebrae in the neck. These were perfect for absorbing and delivering skull-cracking blows to vanquish its rivals. To the best of our knowledge, researchers write, this fossil exhibits the most optimized headbutting adaptation in vertebrate evolution. A modern male giraffe, eager to trounce a challenger, swings his neck around violently to use his head as a battering ram, as a weapon. The new research suggests that over the millennia, such a fighting style may have helped select forever longer necks. And that is the end of our science segment today. As we near the end of today's program, we're going to look at an item about Belgium confronting a dark colonial past. Belgium has taken a step, but only a step, toward apologizing for the atrocities the kingdom perpetrated on its former colony, Congo. Belgium's King Leopold II made the vast territory his personal fiefdom in 1885 and had Belgian overlords work the people brutally, chopping off hands of people who did not meet their quotas of rubber, ivory, or minerals. And up to 10 million Congolese, that's half the original population, died in just a few decades. Well, that record is a lot to atone for, but last week, on his first visit to the Democratic Republic of Congo, which is neither democratic nor a republic, actually, but the king made his first visit since taking the throne in 2013. Belgium's current king, Philippe, spoke frankly in front of cheering crowds and fluttering Belgian flags. He condemned the exploitation and domination of colonial rule as unjustifiable. He said, quote, "I wish to reaffirm my deepest regrets for these wounds of the past," unquote. That personal expression, though, was not an official apology on behalf of the country. And for some Congolese, it was not enough. We'll wait and see what comes later. And now, we have a few short items of note. In rural U.S. counties, unfortunately, homicide rates rose by 25% in 2020, the largest increase since the CDC began tracking this data in 1999. Unprecedented numbers of murders in some counties have overwhelmed the local prosecutors. It was like people lost their ever-loving minds, according to one prosecuting attorney in White County, Arkansas, which saw 12 homicides in 2020 after nearly 2 years with none. And then, the Biden administration has abandoned a plan by former president to change the exterior paint scheme for Air Force One from blue and white to red, white, and blue. The Air Force determined that darkening the colors, which date back to John F. Kennedy's presidency, would lead to increased heating by the sun and create engine heat problems. And so, my friends, we're almost at the very end. I'm going to leave you with a few quotations here, where I call wit and wisdom. Hope you enjoy them. Will Rogers said, "If all politicians fished instead of speaking publicly, we would be at peace with the world." And British philosopher Alain de Botton says, "Choosing whom to commit ourselves to is merely a case of identifying which particular variety of suffering we would most like to sacrifice ourselves for." And Vladimir Nabokov, the author, has said, "I think like a genius, I write like a distinguished author, and I speak like a child." And Finally, Franz Kafka said, in the fight between you and the world, put your money on the world. Well, it's time for us to think about going down that road again. I want you to be kind to each other. Be safe. Stay healthy. It's a hot summer. So we're going to have to take some special measures, I think, to get through it. But we will. And it's time now for my friend Willie Nelson to join with me as we go down the road looking for items for our next A Little of This, A Little of That, to inform you, to entertain you, and I hope once in a while to amuse you. Willie, why don't you take us down the road again? And it's a very pleasant goodbye to all of you. Please come back. We enjoy having you here. Without you, you know, this program couldn't be on the air. So we've got to have you with us every week. Goodbye. See you later.